one of my favorite things in the world, to open up the mailbox and find something that isn't business. It's not an ad or a bill or a political flyer, but it's something that is personal. Real life cards and letters and correspondence that was meant for us. It's amazing to receive those kind of things. The mail of the past is something that we just get so rarely now because things can come so quickly and electronically, but we know how good it is to receive something in the mail. And along with those kind of things, we know we have some cultural norms and values about how we approach mail. And one of the things is that you only read your own mail. You don't read someone else's mail. But guess what? Today we're going to read somebody else's mail. I have a letter here in my hand that is addressed to someone who is not in this room. It is postmarked 8 August 1973, when the stamps had Eisenhower on them and it cost 8 cents to send a letter to a different state. It's on some old paper, lined paper, written in pencil, all in capital letters, with a not very, not a very pretty hand, I'll just say that. It says this: Dear Grandma, thank you for the pretty card money. I am feeling better. How are you? Period. No question mark. Please make some lefse. We are going to a beach with some of our friends and swim and have lots of fun. See you soon. Love, Christine. We read somebody else's mail today, and it's so fun. We're going to do it again. But this next letter that we're going to read comes from the Bible, not an envelope. It comes from a book in the New Testament that is known as Philippians, and Philippians is actually a letter. And I'm sure I'm telling most of you things that you already know, but just in case, let's review. There are lots of books in the New Testament that are letters that were sent, written by hand, written from the heart, and sent to people in that ancient time. So today we're going to open Philippians and start reading it, and read it together for the next 7 weeks. And so when I say open, some of you are doing that, I literally mean you could open it. So there are pew Bibles there before you. Some of you have Bible apps, and it will also appear on the screen. I brought my Bible today, but the print is too small, so I'm just going to hold it near me and read it as I printed it out in my notes. The letter starts like this. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. So unlike the more recent letter that we just read, our kind of cultural or our normal letters start with an address to the person that it's to, not the person that it's from. But an ancient letter starts with this form where it starts with the person who is writing it. And in this case, it's written by someone named Paul, who is writing with a friend named Timothy. Paul's an apostle. That means he was someone who met Jesus and whose life was changed as soon as he came to know Jesus. And Paul has committed his life to telling about Jesus, to starting churches or gatherings of people to learn about faith, and encouraging people to keep the faith. So in the letter that I read before, we had a postmark on the envelope. Paul does not date his letter, and there's no postmark for it. But we do have all these scholars who are often disagreeing about things in the Bible, but they narrowed down the time of this letter to sometime between 53 and 61 A.D. That's a super long time ago. And Paul doesn't say where he is when he's writing the letter, and we don't have a postmark or a return address on an envelope. But if you look at this text and you continue in Philippians and read Acts and some other things about Paul, they agree that Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. And he might have been in prison in Rome or in Ephesus or somewhere else, but that is where this is coming from. And he continues on in the letter. He says, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. So now we know who Paul is writing his letter to. He's writing the letter to believers, to followers of Jesus Christ who live in a town called Philippi, which is in the region of Macedonia. And we find out, if we read the book of Acts, in Acts 16, how Paul actually comes to know these people. In Acts 16, Paul ends up in Macedonia because of a vision that he has from the Lord. And he goes with his friends Timothy and Silas, and when he gets to this place, he finds a group of Jewish women who are praying by a river. And they come to these women, and they start telling them about Jesus, and they become the first followers of Christ in that place. So when Paul is writing this letter to them, this group of believers, Paul helped them form a church and then had to quickly leave because the leaders of the city said, get out, we don't want you here. But this group of people is still meeting, probably in the home of Lydia, who was there at that riverbank when it started. And so he's writing the letter to them. He continues on and says this, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the form of an ancient Near Eastern letter, and Paul always gives a blessing or a greeting or a grace and peace to those who will read. And then begins the body of the letter. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So here we are really literally reading someone else's mail. When Paul wrote this letter, he didn't think that thousands of years later there'd be a bunch of people in Bloomington reading the letter. He meant it for this group of people that were gathering to worship and to grow in faith there in Philippi. So here in this letter, we'll find some things that are personal that were meant for them in the context that they were in. But just as is in the case of so much of the New Testament letters, these letters were saved. And they were repeated, and they were told about, and they were copied, and eventually shared and passed along so that believers everywhere would be able to hold these letters, and that we can hold them too and say, this is to us. This is our mail too that we are reading. And there'll be some similarities to our context. There'll be some things that are different. And what we do together is the work of application. The big theological word for that is hermeneutics. What we do together is we read this and say, what does it mean for us in the context, in the time, in the place that we live? We read together in these ancient texts and look for a big idea or an abiding theme, a lasting truth, or something with universal application. What applies to all Christians in all places at all times? And today, the big idea that is so stuck in my head is what he said in verse 6. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am compelled by this idea that God begins something and it won't be finished until everything is finished. What God starts rolling is going to keep on rolling until the end of all things, and we see all the completion happen together when we're face to face with Jesus. So for the Philippians, when they receive this and hear that word, they're a newly established church. They're just barely getting going. It's a small group of people meeting at someone's house, trying to figure out how they're going to do life. They don't have all the ancient texts before them. They don't have much of anything except this letter that comes to them and the good news that was preached to them. And so for them, they can hear this word, and Paul's saying to them, listen, I know you just started, and God started this, and he's got something for you. There's going to be this continuing work that's happening. It's a word of assurance to them. God started this, and God's not going to just let it fall apart. And so here they are, this little new church that had just started, and for us, we're, in comparison to some, we're an old church. Almost 75 years old. This church has been here for a while, but in comparison to the big church, we're kind of a little baby church too. Something new that God has just barely begun. But just like for those original readers, God has not completed what God began in this church, in the group of people that were here in 1971 when it began. The Philippians and us, reading the same letter, they were and we are a work in progress. So work in progress is the title of this series. You're going to hear it over and over and over again. By the end of the series, I hope I'll say, what was our series called? And you will say, work in progress. And then you will all have memorized Philippians 1:6 too. And we can share that together. A work in progress means that something has begun and it is not finished. It is thinking about the undergoing process or an ongoing process. There's still more to come. So here's some examples of a work in progress to get us kind of thinking in that idea. Something that was begun and took a long time to complete, or something that you begin and it's never really done. So one, the Great Wall of China. The work on the Great Wall of China began in 770 BC, and it took about 2,000 years to complete. No one that worked on the wall, no single bricklayer, no single mortar mixer, no single person ever saw the thing that they started come to the finish. Whoever dreamed of it, whoever planned it, whoever engineered it and put it on graph paper or graph papyrus or whatever they had at that time, nobody got to see the thing. They said, we're going to start this thing, but none of us are ever going to see it get done. And then just a couple of weeks ago, someone drove an excavator right on through that wall. Did you see that in the news? And so yet it's still a work in progress. There's some repairs that are going to have to be made. A sports team is a work in progress, especially professional ones. It looks like you get all the team together. Everybody's got their part and their place, and they signed their really, really lot of money contracts. And you think it's in place, but it is constantly changing. It's a work in progress. Who's going to start today? Who's going to play today? Who's injured today? Who are we going to trade to somebody else? There's always something going on in these teams. It's a work in progress. If you're a theater or arts person, a theater production is a work in progress. From the moment someone says, I want to run this show, I want to perform this show, I want to put this thing together, it is a work in progress. There's a calling of a cast, and there's a designing of a set, and there's building, and there's memorization of lines, and then there's gathering the orchestra if you get to have one of those. All these things happen, and it is a work in progress until that show closes. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just keep on going, and it's constantly being changed and massaged and work as it goes. Let's move a little closer to home. Covenant Pines Bible Camp is a pretty dear place to a lot of us. Covenant Pines is a constant work in progress. When I was a kid in the 70s, there were buildings there that we went to. There was something called the panel house. Can I hear an amen for the panel house? Right? There are things that were there at Covenant Pines way back in the day that aren't there now. There's now this retreat center. There's this beautiful dining hall. There's new cabins and old cabins. There's always something going on at Covenant Pines. And right now, there's a huge work in progress as the new worship space, the new worship center is being built. And week after week, you can watch the work in progress on their Instagram page or Facebook or I don't know however else they're doing it. But you can see a little video every week about how that work in progress is coming along. And next Sunday, Dave Cairns, who is the executive director of Covenant Pines Ministries, is going to be with us to give a little Covenant Pines update. Not just about the building, but about the work in progress that God is doing, helping young people and adults come closer to Jesus. How about this? 494. A work in progress. As long as I've been driving, it has been a work in progress. This summer has been particularly brutal, and I live to the west. So every time I come here, and I keep forgetting to come on Old Shakopee Road, I get onto 494 and I go, oh, work in progress, work in progress. It is a constant work in progress, and we pray as we go. Here in this own space, there is a new hosta garden by the south door. If you come into the church down by the office, there was a group of people that tore out all the old landscaping that was there, and they put in a new hosta garden, and it's lovely. And they planted grass seeds, and you can see that those seeds are a work in progress. The grass is coming up there. And I know that group would like to say, we did it, we planted it, we're done. But guess what? It's a constant work in progress. There will be weeding to be done, and there'll be more seed to be laid, and there'll be splitting of the hostas and moving them around, and that's just a little space. Anybody that has a garden or a yard knows that it is a continual work in progress. This church building is a work in progress. This beautiful sanctuary is such a wonderful place to worship, but we are always working on some things. We're working on the sound to make it hearable and to make it accessible. We're working on the light. Have you ever been here when that skylight has just a big splotch in the middle of the screen right there? We're working on those things so that we can worship together without distraction. And then I'll point to this person. I am a work in progress. So P.S., if you didn't guess, this letter was a letter that I wrote to my grandma when I was 5. And my handwriting is pretty poor at the time, but you can read it. 50 years later, my handwriting might be worse, and you cannot read it. I am a work in progress. I am also aware that I speak quickly. Anyone agree with that? It's been mentioned to me a time or two over the last 30 years of ministry, and I am working on it. I am trying. I'm a work in progress. Because we as human beings are that. From even before we're born, we're a work in progress. We grow physically and emotionally and cognitively, and we are works in progress spiritually. In the depths of who we are, in the depths of our being, God is working on us. And as individuals, God begins something in us long before we even know that God exists. Long before we were born, God was doing something. And as we grew, and as we came to a moment in our life, or just moments in our life where we've said yes to Jesus, that work is ongoing, and it won't be finished in our life on earth. We are works in progress as individuals, and we are work in progress as a church. This community of believers began in 1951, and 72 years later, it's still a work in progress. No one that was there at the beginning is here now, at least that I know of. And as a church, we won't see this completed in our lifetimes. And that's the goal. We don't want to see the end of Bloomington Covenant Church. We want to keep on being part of this thing that's begun, like the Great Wall of China, that's going to keep on going on because God began this work, and it will carry it on until the end of time, hopefully. So hearing that news that we're not complete in any kind of way as a church can be unsettling, because we live in a culture that wants things done quickly, right? We want to see results. We want quick answers. We want to see growth and measure growth. We want to make decisions, get things done, and have it our own way. We want to be able to finish a project and check it off the list. Who are my fellow listers that you write things on lists because you just want to check them off the list? Let's check those things off. Let's cross them out. Let's use really Sharpie markers so they're gone, so we feel this sense of accomplishment. If a person is impatient, don't join a church. I mean, I want you to know Jesus, but if you're going to be impatient, a church is not something to be part of, because we're a work in progress. If you are adverse to change, don't be part of a church. Because we're a work in progress, and things have changed, and things will change, and it can be frustrating to be part of something that's an ongoing work. Because you might say to yourself or to others, I like things just like they are. Can't we just stay like it is? How come Pastor Tim can't just keep on keeping on here? How come this or that or the other thing? Or maybe you say things like this, I liked it in the olden days. I liked when we used to do this. I remember those glory days or these moments, or when I was a kid growing up in the church. I liked it then. It can be frustrating when things change and you're not ready for them to change. Or if you're a person that loves change, it can be frustrating when things change too slowly. Why haven't we gotten here yet? I thought we were going to do this thing. We've been talking about this for 10 to 400 years. Why are the things not changing? See, this applies in your home and your family and your thing, but we're sticking with the church. A work in progress means work. It's not a stand around in progress. It's not a passive kind of thing. It means work that we participate in. But in this letter, when Paul says this to the Philippians and then to us, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, is meant for good news. It's meant to be a word of encouragement. It means to say God hasn't left us alone. That God had a plan in mind when this body of believers began, and God's going to get this figured out and to keep going. It means that God didn't just say, here you go, Bloomington Covenant Church, just do your thing. I've launched you, now you figure it out. God's been in this, and God will continue to be in this. It means we can hope for growth and change. It means we get second chances and third chances and do-overs when we try things and we have to try again. It means we get to work with God and with each other to become the people that God dreamed us to be. It's good news that the work isn't finished yet. When I was a kid in the 70s, I can picture, I might have had this poster in my bedroom, and that's why it's so clear. But there's this little poster, and it had this girl in a kind of a calico bonnet, this giant bonnet, and little overalls. And I think there was a boy version of it, too. But it had this little caption on the bottom that said, please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. Super sweet, super cute. If you Google it now, someone's made it into a little caption with a caterpillar on it. And you kind of get the thing about the caterpillars and they become the butterflies, the whole kind of growth and kind of thing. But please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. And it seemed at least to be aimed at children, because children are obviously still changing. Be patient with me as a child. God's not finished. I'm still doing things. But really, I feel like maybe we should all just get T-shirts that say that. Please be patient, God isn't finished with me yet. Or perhaps even as a church, that we put a big sign out that says, please be patient, God isn't done with us yet. We're a work in progress. And guess what? We do have a big wall that's going to say that. I'll tell you more in a little bit. But being able to request patience in that way is this ability to be able to say, I want to have the grace that you could offer me by just saying, I'm a work in progress. I got places to go and think God's doing things. I would love to have the grace offered of your patience. And then it means that we extend that same kind of grace and patience to others. It means that we don't have to compare ourselves to each other as individuals or as a church. It doesn't matter what the other churches is doing. It matters that we follow and discern what God has for this place and these people. It means we get to extend to other people grace and patience for them for what God hasn't finished. When you encounter somebody who doesn't think like you do, or worship like you do, or act like you do, we can say, you know what, I'm going to give them the patience, and I'm going to trust that God is working on something in them, and maybe God's going to bring them the place where they'll think like me. Or maybe God's doing something in me, and we'll find a common ground somewhere else. It's good news that God isn't finished yet. God has an idea, and God is continuing to work, and only God knows what that will be. McKenna read from 1 John, and John says this, what we will be has not yet been made known. What we will be is something that God dreamed of in Ecclesiastes. It was, and God's going to make everything beautiful in its time. In its time, or her time, or his time. God is doing all those things. And in the Corinthians, they quote something from the Old Testament that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has planned. That there's something that God still sees, and we're in this beautiful spot now, but there's something more that's coming. It is good news that we're not finished yet. Only God knows what this is going to be, what you're going to be, what I'm going to be, and what we are going to be. Here's a sort of metaphorical picture to help us think about what that might look like and God's vision for something that we don't always see. So there's a legend, and it's about a sculptor. Some people say this is a story about Michelangelo. I don't know. But there's a sculptor working in his studio with a huge block of marble. And a little boy came along, and he was standing there watching this person work as they were chipping away. He had a hammer and a chisel, and he's chipping away, and little pieces of stone are just flying all over. And this little boy stood there and watched for a little while and then left. And a few weeks later, he came back. And where that big block of marble had been standing, now there was a huge, powerful marble lion. And the boy was amazed, and he said with excitement, according to the legend, he said, sir, tell me, how did you know there was a lion in the marble? How did you know that that was in there? And the answer was this, I knew there was a lion in the marble because before I saw the lion in the marble, I saw him in my own heart. The secret is that it was the lion in my heart that recognized the lion in the marble. The God who made us put his image in us. That when God looks at us, God says, I see my own heart when I look into your hearts. I made this church, I gathered this group of people, and what I see in there is something that they might not even see themselves. But it is my heart that I have put in there, and that is what I recognize as I'm going about this ongoing work. God is overwhelmingly creative. If you were here last week and we talked about all the creatures that God has made, all the vast variety of the creation that points us to this God who is so creative and so powerful and blows our mind at every corner, that God has a dream about what this church will continue to be. What God sees in his own heart, he can see in this block of stone, in these blocks of stones. Things that are waiting to be completed. We are a work in progress. And as we move together in the book of Philippians, we'll get a glimpse of what things that God might be continuing to do and create. Paul writes about things that God wants to chisel away. And us as individuals or a church, that God will chisel away selfishness, complaining and arguing, impatience, and anxiousness. He writes about things that God will then add. So the chipping away sculpture doesn't exactly work there, but think of adding clay or doing that kind of work. The things that God will add as he is working on us as individuals in the church. He adds contentment and perseverance and strength and peace and unity, all of these themes that we find in the book of Philippians. We get to remember that we're part of this work in progress, but that it is work. And it's not a simple, easy, light task. But there's work to be done. Change and growth usually come the hard way. And sometimes you feel it. When something's being chiseled away or broken off, we can feel that work. It is sometimes difficult and we struggle. And struggle is usually the thing that builds us and grows us and shapes us into those places that God has for us. And it requires a willingness to be changed, to be moved, to be sculpted, to be worked on by God. Unlike a block of stone that has no agency, we have to say yes to God. I'm willing to let you change my heart. I'm willing to let you change and to work and continue. But in all of that, we can cling to the promises that God never gives up. Never gives up on his people or on the church. And that what we will be has not yet been made known. So here's what's next. We are joining God in the work and doing our part for Bloomington Covenant Church. So we will enter a season of discernment and praying and asking questions and participating. Wondering together and asking God, what do you dream about for Bloomington Covenant Church in the future? What do you got for us, Lord? Who are we going to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 100 years, in however many years until Jesus comes? Dreaming about and looking and asking God what that is. What is the next part of this work in progress? So stay tuned for ways to participate. For the next 7 weeks, we're going to study the book of Philippians together. Philippians will be our manual for a work in progress. And we anticipate to the things that God is going to do in us as individuals and as a church. So we're studying Philippians together, and we're going to create our own work. So out in the hall, there's a huge new wall that's out there. And it says, work in progress, and this verse from Philippians, that the one that started a good work in us will continue it to completion. And you will get to, starting next week, take one of these tiles home. And decorate it any way that you want. You can use pencil, you can use marker, you can use Sharpie, you can use glue, you can use fabric, you can use paints. Whatever it is that you want, you get to fill out one of these in any way that you... I saw that already. Any way that you're inspired to do, this is your creative work to do. And we will start putting them on that wall as we create a work in progress as a reminder of that. We'll also have a couple Sundays where we have paints and stuff available that you can do your work here if you would prefer. So we're going to join in God's work and ask God the question, what's comes next? We're going to study Philippians and work on our wall. In the near future, we're going to sing a hymn together shortly. And it is this beautiful hymn that points to the idea that there's something going on that we can't always see. It's something that God alone can see. And then after the service, we're going to kick off our program year together. Our work in progress begins as we go outside together. So would you join me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this good word that you have given to us, that you began something in each individual that is here today, and you will not give up. You are continuing the work that you have done in them, in us. We thank you, Lord, that in 1971, some people that had been dreaming and asking and praying followed your lead to Bloomington and began this group of believers. And we thank you, Lord, that you've continued your work here. We look forward to seeing what you have for this church in the future, to becoming the dream that you have here in this place and this time. So, Lord, as we do the work together, help us have the grace and the patience to allow each of us to continue being worked on by you, to being changed and to growing. Help us, Lord, to give that and extend that to one another, just as you do to us. Thank you for the promise that you're with us, that you are dreaming of us and thinking of us and working in and through and for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.